Yes, morning everyone. It is Friday, August 19, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio, and a very good morning to you if you're just tuning in and had, well, a rather large sleep last night, like the Pupster, 26-22, Penrith over the Bunnies. Penrith are minor premiers for the fourth time in their history, for the second time in 3 years, and it was a cracking game of footy. They led 20-12, the Panthers, and then South fought their way back to lead 22-20 within the last 10 minutes. A penalty goal levelled it up. And then lost Liam Martin, who had a couple of tries missed earlier in the evening. He had a good impact on the game, though. It was almost a minor miracle he was playing after his ankle injury last week, but he crashed over late. And Penrith, they've done it again. Minor premiers.
Yeah, he was fantastic last night, Liam Martin. He crashed over in the 78th minute to wrap that game up for the Penrith Panthers, and well done to them. That's their second minor premiership in the last 3 years. They had to do it tough last night without Cleary, Luai, and no forward leader in James Fisher-Harris, South Sydney. They looked good with the ball, but for me, just that their defensive part of the game, they just weren't tough enough and prepared enough to sort of dig in for that 80 minutes in a real tight arm wrestle. But Penrith, they are a team that just keeps coming. They've got some really good players right across the paddock, and they're going to be definitely hard to beat. But to wrap the minor premiership up with two games remaining, it's a fantastic effort from Penrith. They set their season up at the start of the year. You know, they've started to get injuries and suspensions at the back end of the year, but most of those players, if not all of them, will be back. Possibly, you know, in round 25, and you know they're heading in the right direction at the moment. I still think it's more open than what we thought probably 6 weeks ago, but for me, Penrith is still the side to beat.
Cracking game tonight, Brisbane up against the Melbourne Storm at Suncorp Stadium, and well, we've got the grand final staying in Sydney, not going to Brisbane this year, but then from 2023 onwards, set to be sold off to the highest bidder. Other news around the traps tonight, big game in the AFL between Melbourne and Brisbane at the Gabba, and whoever wins that will finish top four. Whoever is the loser is vulnerable. They're both in the four at the moment. Tomorrow, Enemo is the $2.30 favourite. It's firmed in from $2.80 in final field betting for the Group 1 Winx Stakes as well. In rugby, Dave Rennie has axed James O'Connor from a 35-man squad for the next two tests against South Africa here in Australia. And Bernard Foley's been recalled. Rennie says that O'Connor failed to implement the game plan there against Argentina.
I tell you what, Mitter, we're in all sorts, aren't we? Like, Bernard Foley hasn't been a part of the setup for, what, 3 years?
2019 World Cup, he played his last game.
We got rid of Cooper, we got rid of O'Connor, we got rid of Bernard Foley, we're moving forward.
Well, they went to play overseas.
Yeah, but it still doesn't matter. They can still call them back. They can still get one of those guys back. Mm. And they wanted to move on from all those three guys, all right?
Yeah, at the time.
So it's like a footy club making the decision that you're going to move on. And then 3 years later, you're expecting them to come back into the setup and be your saviour, and be your starting number 10.
And be better than what they were in their prime. That's the funny thing. Yeah, like the Quade-Cooper convo. And again, good on Quade. He's still going, he's still playing good footy. He's done a great job since he's come back into the Australian squad. But are we serious? Like, we're expecting him to be better than he was in his prime.
Curtly will be back soon too.
KB, get him in.
But seriously, we can't just keep relying on those guys when we couldn't deliver with those guys in the team.
You're right. Why is it now? I mean, it is desperation stakes, isn't it, to go back to guys?
Well, that's what it seems like.
It just seems like we're on their way out after the last World Cup.
You look back. Remember when the Aussie cricket team had so many superstars in it, and then when they retired, we ended up going to, I think we're ranked fifth in the world in Test cricket. It would have been like us at that stage going, oh, Warnie, McGrath,
get them back.
Gilly, Haydos,
Mardo. Tried to get Warnie back, didn't you, every summer?
Well, Warnie wanted to come back every summer.
But not play.
He was unsure he was going to play or coach. You know, he wanted captain coach. But it would have been like us doing that, thinking, okay, well, we're struggling here. We're gone from number one in the world over a 20-year period to now we're number five. oh my God, let's go back to the old boys. But
and you're talking about Shane Warne, and you're talking about legends, and I don't want to be disrespectful to these guys. They're very good players.
They're not,
but they're not. Yeah, they're not the king of their craft in their sport.
Yeah. No, I think we've got to look a lot deeper, and yeah, I think rugby. We've said it for a long time. Rugby in this country at the moment is not fulfilling the expectation that we have, and I think the Australian team, the Wallaby, that's just the shop front window. Look deeper than that. Why are we not producing that talent that we used to produce?
Well, rugby is producing the talent. Guess where they're all going?
Well, yeah, but why? But that's what I'm saying. That's a part of rugby as well. Yeah. That's a massive part of what rugby need to consider and think about and find a way.
But who's been the number 10 that rugby league have grabbed hold of, Mido, from rugby union?
Not in that position. You're right.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like the outside backs and back rowers, I get all that. But for a position that's so important in a game, and we have struggled to find one, I find hard to comprehend.
Yeah, it's like a halfback, isn't it?
Yeah, you'd be getting all those good young number 10s, and you'd be putting time and effort into them, and they should have been doing that 20 years ago.
Yeah. Now, we've got Adam Pengilly waiting very patiently. While he is Loz, you're the king of the multi at the moment, so it is open. We've got there. So you better give it to us so we can get Pengilly's thoughts on it.
Oh, here we go. Right, what we're going to do, we're going to start nice and early. We're going to the Tab Highway. So race one, number 5, and we're going to put in Bandy's Boy to run a hole. So all we need is just Bandy's Boy to run a place, and then we're going to race 6, number 7, and I reckon he's about to find form. Too much to bear. So we need Too Much to Bear to run top 2. And if you like that multi, courtesy of our great mates at Sticky Wings, that's paying $9.
$9 in its usual spot. Tab app, Tab website, sports, today's offers. Click on sport offer. The Sticky Wings, big sports breakfast best. Adam Pengilly, thanks for waiting, mate. Morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, boys.
We'll get to your thoughts on the races soon, but let's start with the footy. And what did you make of Penrith securing another minor premiership and last night with a lot of very quality players missing as well?
Yeah, first of all, what a cracking game of football, Jared. That was one of the highest quality games we've seen for several weeks, I would have thought. And just goes to show how good this Penrith system is. Still missing Cleary, still missing Luai, still missing Fisher-Harris. And to be able to go toe-to-toe with South, who have been flying of late, and then put them away in the final stages, a massive testament to the club to win there. Or win another minor premiership after an outstanding season. I just want to say, how good is Zappy Coruscant, Loz? Like, that just, he's got to be one of my favourite players to watch. And that play in the last couple of minutes, that match-winning play to put Liam Martin across, when you could see every single South defender had eyes for Sean O'Sullivan, and then just to use his feet and his shoulders as deception was just absolutely fantastic. I think he is really Penrith's X-factor when it comes to the finals.
Yeah, very good player. And you mentioned the fact that he's got nice deception from dummy half, and that's the way he sells it. And, you know, you've got to be on in the middle of the park when you defend Penrith, because if you're not, Coruscant can put a dent in you. And given that you've got to be so tight then to worry about him and Fisher-Harris and Isaiah Yeo, it just opens it up a bit more on the fringes for when Cleary and Luai get the football. But, you know, you throw in Coruscant. Dylan Edwards is pound for pound one of the best players in the competition. We noticed him in that game last night, and we sort of noticed last week when he wasn't there the difference that he makes to this football team. You know, they'll be humming when they get to finals. They've wrapped up the minor premiership. They're a very, very good team. Jeez, 26 points South allowed Penrith to put on them without Cleary and Luai. That, for me, is a concern.
Yeah.
That to me is a concern when they can put, and possibly could have had more points put on.
Well, Liam Martin bombed a couple of tries, didn't he, Loz? So,
I know they got the attack, but for me, it's all about attack. They've got to prioritise their defence. If they prioritise their defence a lot more and they get their attack right, which we know is there, they can beat all the good teams. But until they get a tougher attitude to the way they defended, at times they did last night, but then they conceded plenty of easy yardage, and that was a worry for mine.
what an underrated player Sean O'Sullivan is as well, Loz. Like, I just, you know, just the way he steered that team around without Cleary last night. I thought his kicking game was really made Latrell Mitchell work last night, and probably found him out of position a couple of times, and a couple of kicks they made him get down low and bend him up on his bend down and pick him up from his own goal line. And I thought Sean O'Sullivan was really, really smart there last night. I'm very keen to see what Ivan does for that last round against the Cowboys in Townsville. Whether he just plays a second-string team and virtually just rests his players en masse, because that's a long trip up to Townsville in the final round of the season. Obviously, got to travel to get back to Sydney to prepare for a final the following week. And you imagine they're probably going to be opening the final series on a Friday night, given that they're minor premiers, or at the very least playing Saturday. So he's got a few decisions to make in regards to how he sort of manages their loads the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there'd be only one that you'd be looking at, and that's Isaiah Yeo.
Yeah.
I mean, all the others have missed a bit of football. You know, you look at Dylan Edwards, he had last week off. You know, you've got Cleary and Luai, Fisher-Harris. I think Isaiah Yeo's the one that you give a rest to if you want to, because of the workload that he has. I can't see them resting too many more.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Parramatta rested on Mass last year in the final round of the season? They actually played Penrith, and Penrith played all their guys, I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correctly.
Ooh, yeah. I think you might be right.
I think, because
I remember reading a story about how they did it a decade before or something.
Yeah.
Against the Dragons. Was that right?
Yeah, potentially.
Didn't they play a Dragons 1 week and they got beaten Parramatta, and then I think Dragons were minor premiers or something, and then Parramatta turned up on the Sunday afternoon, and you know, it was a warm day and they beat them the year that Parramatta went on that run and made the grand
2009,
final.
2009, yep.
Yeah.
Now, the NRL Grand Final, staying in Sydney this year. Adam, what have you made of it all?
Well, thank God, Jared, it's over, if I can put it in those terms. This has been going on for weeks, if not months, and I'm glad they finally came to the decision. Were you writing Peter Valenti's script there yesterday, Jared?
I don't think Peter needs anyone to write his scripts. He's got it all done himself.
Oh, that's Bruno Cherry, right? That was good.
Were you at the press conference yesterday?
Yeah, I was.
What did everyone think when he announced that Melbourne at the start was going to host it? Did everyone go?
I sort of did a little bit myself. I thought, what's he going on about? But he delivered it with a fair bit of conviction as well. So
it was quite funny.
Himself, yeah, it was very good, very good. I think they've made the right decision. And financially, the New South Wales government came to the party late yesterday morning, if all the reports were led to believe are correct, and bumped up their offer just a little bit at the last minute. And that got them across the line. And I think I said to you guys on the program, if not last week, the week before, Acor Stadium's got 80,000 seats. They can sell an extra 30,000 seats in Sydney as opposed to Brisbane. And don't discount how crucial that is for the NRL to try and commercialise those extra seats and the revenue they can generate from that, and compare that to the Suncorp Stadium up there in Brisbane. So I'm very keen to see what they do with the concepts going forward. I get the impression that Andrew Abdo is obviously very smart commercially. That's his background. He's very, very keen to explore this option of this Super Bowl concept of selling it off to different grounds and different states throughout Australia. My personal opinion, I would hate to see it go to an Optus Stadium in Perth or a Melbourne cricket ground, purely because I don't think they're rugby league grounds. I just think you lose so much atmosphere playing on these oval venues. I know they've got a lot of seats. I know they're major venues. But rugby league, the best thing about it is the atmosphere it can generate at the ground like Suncorp Stadium or Acor Stadium in Sydney with a rectangular field. And I know we sell off the Origin to another state every year. And I actually don't mind that. I think that's okay. But I think our grand final should traditionally be played in Sydney. If they're going to take it to Brisbane, yeah, that's okay, once every few years. I'm probably not completely against that. I still believe the grand final should be in Sydney, but I don't know if I'm a massive fan of taking interstate to these oval venues.
Like it. Buddy, what did you make of the Kalyn Ponga saga? And do you think he should keep the captaincy or lose it?
Yeah, Clarkie, this is a fascinating one. The NRL Integrity is going to hand down their report at some stage in the next few days, you would have thought. I think they're getting close to finalising that. It's a massive call for Newcastle. It's a massive, massive call. I know a lot of people would say that, you know, whether he's done anything right or wrong in terms of, they're only insinuations at this stage. We'll be very careful about, you know, alleging anything. But it was a bad look. No one can dispute that. It was a bad look on Saturday night to be in that toilet cubicle with his teammate, coming out, you know, minutes after his team's been pumped up there in Brisbane. As a club captain, he probably should have been making his choice a lot wiser. Now, what do Peter Parra and the Knights do? Do they take a stand now and take the captaincy off him? But I look around that squad, and I don't know if there's a natural successor. I don't think Kalyn's a natural fit for captaincy, to be fair, but you know, who do you go with if you take it off him? Do you now put the responsibility on him and say, okay, mate, you've stuffed up. Now it's your turn, your time to lead this club out of the mire, basically, and we're going to ride you, and you're going to be the leader that we need. That's the question they've got to ask themselves, and I suppose they've probably already been asking themselves the last week, and it'll be fascinating to see what decision they come up with.
Yeah. I think with Kalyn, if you're going to have him as captain, you've got to have people around him to show him what sometimes what leadership looks like. What's that?
He doesn't have that at the moment, does he?
No, he doesn't at all. He doesn't at all. Basically, they've just gone, there's the captaincy, go out and do your best. And you know, with leadership comes a lot more than just being the best player, and we've spoken about that a lot. And, you know, do you really want the captaincy? You know, what does captaincy look like away from the field? What does it look like on the field? You know, are you prepared to have tough conversations? Are you prepared to challenge your teammates? You know, are you prepared to do extras with your coach in terms of planning your sessions and planning your game plan? There's a lot more things that go into it rather than just being the C on game day, you know, representing your club at different functions, going talking to sponsors. You know, there's a lot of things involved with leadership, and I think at times people are just thrown in there without actually knowing what leadership looks like.
I remember,
and it's unfair on them.
Yeah, I remember chatting to him was at the start of the season. I think it was after a trial game they played against the Bulldogs up there in Newcastle, and I had a chat to him for a few minutes in the sheds just about the captaincy and his thoughts on it. And I just walked away with the impression that he still wasn't convinced himself that he wanted to do it. He was still trying to get his head around it. I know that was only early in the year, but I reckon if you asked him now, even still, I don't think he's quite completely grappled with the concept of what it means and everything else that comes with the captaincy, as you're mentioning, was that. And Newcastle's such a proud rugby league town. I know we bang on about that all the time, but it's a massive honour to captain that club. And you have to be all in. You have to be completely all in on that job. And if I'm being honest, I don't think Kalyn has been this year. That might come in time. He's still only young and he still might learn it. But the time for the Knights is now. They've got to turn it around now. They just cannot afford to have another season like they've had this year in 2023.
No, they certainly can't. I'll tell you who can't afford another poor season by the sounds of things is Desi Hasler and Manly.
Yeah, the season's just going from bad to worse, isn't it, Loz? Obviously, a few more injuries this week. Jake Trbojevic won't play again this year. Ruben Garrick's obviously out for the season. And their season's unravelling really fast. I think if you ask them if they wanted to be over right now, I think a lot of those players put their hand up and say, yep, just get us to the off-season. Let's start again fresh next year. I'm trying to get my head around this Dez situation and his contract next year. There's no doubt the winds of change are slowly starting to blow through Manly there. They've obviously got a new chief executive with Tony Mestrov. Dez is, Loz, you know how Dez works. He's virtually run the club for a number of years now, hasn't he? He does everything from coaching the football teams and managing a lot of the stuff off the field. And I think they want to try and, I suppose, distinguish Dez's position a little bit more.
Ask you this, though, Adam? And I know there's coaches out there, but do you actually see an obvious successor to Dez? Because sitting here right now, I don't.
Well, look around the competition now, Loz, and the clubs that have been searching for a coach, we're talking the Bulldogs, the Tigers, the Warriors, have virtually all gone for untried coaches. Let's just take Tim Sheens out of it for a minute, because Benji's going to be the long-term successor there. They've all gone for guys who are rookie coaches. Manly is a very unique club. Trent Barrett was a rookie coach when he went up to Manly. We all know how that's finished. And Dez sort of just fits Manly, doesn't he? I can't see any obvious successor waiting in the wings, ready to go up there at Manly, whether it's someone coming through the system or someone externally. I know the name we keep talking about, from an experience point of view is Shane Flanagan, and he seems to can't land a job at the moment. And I, to me, can't understand why in a lot of respects. But I agree with you, Loz. I can't see anyone just waiting there, ready to go to take the role if they move on from Dez.
No, there's sort of not an obvious fit there at the moment when I'm looking at it. I go, geez. Because even Flano, I don't know whether Flano would fit that Manly sort of style or culture.
Yep.
It's just one of those ones. That's not saying he wouldn't do a good job, but I just don't see that person that you go, yeah, I can see that working. I can see that, going together and being a happy relationship.
They've got some calls to make, Manly. They're going to be a fascinating watch next year, Manly, I reckon, for the first few months of the season.
Definitely. Okay, racing and Loz's multi. So he's got in the highway race one, Bandy's Boy top three, and Too Much to Bear in race six to run top two. Any thoughts there, Adam?
Yeah, well, Oz, you know I don't bet in the highways usually, so I'll give that one a wide berth. I've barely looked at the highway for tomorrow. But Too Much To Bear does find his right distance there tomorrow. It's a tougher race than what he's been finding that Winter Challenge last start, but 2,000 metres is right up his alley. So I'm not going to say anything to you, Loz, because you've been flying with this multi of late, so you don't need any endorsement or anything from me. You just keep doing what you're doing. Keep going. Oh, I
appreciate that, mate.
All right. What have you got? What have you got then for us,
mate? Best bet on the program, race 4, number 8, Casino Kid, Jared. I was filthy on myself for not backing him last start. I thought he was in a right sort of race, but just a little bit suspect about 1,100 metres or 1,600 metres. But he ran out of his skin. I know he makes a very similar field here. He goes up a little bit in weight, but I think he'll win again. So that's race 4, number 8, Casino Kid, the best bet on the program. And the Winx Stakes, Jared. Jesus, a tough race this year. I can't get Animo that short. I still think he's very, very short. But then I listened to Duff, who I respect enormously on Formline last night, saying this horse should be odds on. He's his best bet on the program. So I thought he should be somewhere closer to around that $3 mark. If I'm going to have a small play in the race, I'm going to have something small on Fangirl each way. Mm. But a very tricky race to start the Group 1 season in Sydney.
Very tricky it is, mate. You have a great weekend. Thank you.
Yeah, enjoy the weekend, boys. We'll chat on Monday.
Deliciously flaky pastry on top of bottom, which is rolled extra thin, a filling of 100% lean Aussie beef. Talking about Garlo's pies, the only pies you should be putting on your plate. Garlo's pies are simply bursting with flavour, and there's heaps of flavours to choose from. Here's a thought. Take a night off from cooking. Grab a Garlo's family pie for the whole crew. They're available in all Coles and Woolworths stores. And remember, we're located in the chilled meals section. And if you can't find us, just ask for Garlo's Pies by name. Garlo's Pies, they're thin on pastry. They're big on meat. 26-22 last night, Penrith over South Sydney. Now over on the PGA Tour and the FedEx Cup playoffs, the BMW Championship opening round in Delaware. And Adam Scott, second after a 6-under-65. Charles Keegan Bradley, the American, by one stroke after a quality opening round from the Aussie. Mark Leishman also was solid, 3-under, a 68. Cam Davis, he's shot a 2-under 69. Lucas Herbert, a 1-under 70. So the Aussies pretty good. Many of them under par there at the start of that tournament. Now, Alia Tomjanovic, I don't think she's got on court yet, but she's set to play over there in Cincinnati this morning. Now, the multi is open, courtesy of Sticky Wings. And Loz, you're going to Royal Randwick on Winx Stakes Day tomorrow.
We certainly are, Middo. We're going race 1, number 5, Bandy's Boy, to run a place. And then race 6, number 7, Too Much To Bear, to finish top 2. And that is paying $9.
In its usual spot, the Tab app, the Tab website, just click on sport and today's offers. Now, as far as the Winx Stakes is concerned, a couple of texts here. Gate 1 might cost NMO if the fence is off, weather dependent. That's what I'm hoping anyway, says Blake the Bogan. Hey, fellas, Fangirl is a special tomorrow. NMO has bigger fish to fry later in prep, says Aaron. Just might be too classy, though. But, Loz, have you got to lean at all in the Winx Stakes? It's a tough race. Well, I mean, NMO, it's interesting that Adam Pengilly telling us how Ron Duffy on Formline last night on Sky Thoroughbred Central saying that it should be odds on. He's just the best horse in the race.
Oh, best horse in the race, yeah. I agree with that. But is it his grand final? You know, I look at a couple of these horses. I'd give Ice Bath a chance. I'd give Hinged a chance. You know, Moanga. There's just so many good horses. You know what? I haven't got a lean. I haven't got anything that I really think will win. I think they're all capable of winning, yeah, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, it's a cracking race, isn't it?
I'll be going wide, I think.
Yeah, I'm on the Fangirl train, but NMO now, I'm thinking we'll probably just sit back, probably on the fence and find a way to peel off and just weave through and maybe justify the price there. But yeah, there's plenty you can, there's Group 1 winners galore in that race, isn't there? Give us a call, 1353 53. Now, a lot of people certainly texting in about poor old Jackson Paulo last night. It wasn't his night, but plenty sticking the boot in. It happened on my WhatsApp group chat as well, Loz, yours as well, but can't pin it just on poor old Jackson there last night. But he certainly had an unhappy night, and Penrith took full advantage.
No, that's exactly right, Mido. I mean, I think if you look through it, most players make a mistake, but unfortunately for Jackson, he made a couple, and they were very crucial. The one at the end of the game certainly was. when he dropped that ball. But as I said, you know, you could go through it. You could pick out people that made mistakes. But unfortunately, he had a night that he'd rather forget. And I don't know whether he'll be in the team next week. They probably need to give him a bit of a spell. But also for me was, you know, their defence at times was good. And at other times, I thought they conceded cheap yards and they, you know, allowed cheap points to Penrith. So I still think that's an area of their game that they need working on. They've got the attack that'll trouble anyone, but they've just got to prioritise that defensive line and defensive system. And if they get that right, who knows what they can do.
We've got Matthew on the line. Morning, Matthew.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, really well, thanks, mate. What have you got for us this morning?
I've just found it a bit funny the last day or two. Wayne Bennett's been going a bit crook how we couldn't get Ponga up there to play for him and things. Wouldn't be loyal on that.
But I think some stories have been written about, well, basically saying that Wayne Bennett was justified in putting it on Caelan Ponga and therefore he didn't end up there. I don't think necessarily Wayne was overly disappointed.
But the funny thing I find about it all, he's already signed a contract for his grandson, Anthony Milford, up there playing. And look how much better Brisbane are going this year without him and how bad Newcastle are going with him. But these Wayne's already got him up there playing. He'd be sort of one of the last ones. He'd be looking to sign him the hardest, I thought.
Yeah, to Milford's defence, he came in way underdone for the Newcastle Knights. And the fact that he's played his best football under Wayne Bennett, and Wayne thinks he can get the best out in him. He knows what makes Anthony Milford tick. So if he gets a pre-season up there, I'm not saying that he'll set the world on fire. But what I will say, I think he'll play better football than what he's playing now at Newcastle.
Good on you, Matt. Thanks for the call. Now, Alex at Wagga says, just on last night's game, and no one is sticking the boot into Latrell. Both of his errors resulted in opposition points. Very, very inconsistent. I'll tell you what, though. How he drew those defenders and that little flick pass over the top to Cody Walker that led to that try. But then, on the other side of the fence, Loz, sometimes he does get caught out positionally there at fullback. And there was that... Oh, no, it wasn't a 40-20. It was when he was caught out of position. O'Sullivan put a beautiful kick over the top and forced him to sort of reef the ball back in play, and they ended up getting caught in the in goal.
Well, as a fullback, you cover more distance than any other player, and you've got to be always on the go, and you've got to move from sideline to sideline. And playing at fullback, you've got to be fit. You've really got to be the fittest guy in the team because you've got to be able to talk, communicate, organise defensive systems while you're getting your breath back. But you also then got to put yourself in a position to get the ball on the full, make sure you're carrying the ball back strongly. And it takes a lot of effort. And again, he's been out of the game for a while and they just tested him last night and moved him around. So that's something that opposition teams will look at. But it will. He'll improve and needs to improve as he goes forward, Latrell. But last night they played him perfectly, and they also put a target on him too. Every time he carried the ball, it was like, you know, we need to make an example of this guy and let him know that he's not in for an easy night. And I thought they handled him in particular when he was bringing the ball out of trouble very, very well.
Jeff, morning, mate.
Hey, Gerard.
What's doing?
Not much, mate. Can you do me a favour and stop poking fun at Corey Norman?
Very good. I'm surprised Loz didn't laugh. I was about to say it's right up Loz's alley, but I'm not going to say that anyway. I just did.
His alley, well done.
Yeah, right. Thank you. Anyway,
he doesn't bite his nails.
Hello,
the ultimate
sire.
Hello, buddy. Hope he uses the nail file.
It's so good to have you back.
It's so good to be back. Although it's felt like a long week, buddy. This Friday thing, why was it taking so long to get to Friday?
Hey, pup.
Yeah.
Your performance on Monday was nothing short of extraordinary, mate. Loose lips sink ships.
Yeah.
Right. Mate, I want to
What goes on tour stays on tour, buddy. These boys should know better. They're not getting it out of me.
Well, it's just on behalf of the listeners.
The listeners aren't getting out of me either.
Clarkie.
Yeah.
take the tip from me. Loz is a parrot. He sings like a canary.
I'm rock solid.
Oh, yeah, of course you are. You're
you should have seen him snooping through my phone. Messages, mate, direct messages on Instagram, pictures. He wanted to see the lot. He's not bad. I can't leave my phone on the table for 2 minutes.
Now, Jeff, you'd want to do the same thing, wouldn't you? No, but you'd want to get a hold of his phone and have a look, wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, 100%. So what have I done wrong?
Trust me, you would.
No chance, mate. Anyway, look, on a serious note, right, Clark.
Now we're losing you, Jeffrey. Go again. We lost you.
Yeah, I said, what's the interest in people's business? On a serious note.
Personal life, you mean?
Yeah, personal life. You know, we had the tragedy with Paul Green.
Yeah.
You know, we're going through this with Ben Rutten. I mean, do people understand it's their livelihood?
Yeah.
Like, I know they joke about your personal life, right? And obviously, you're an Australian captain, right? But what's the intrigue? What's the interest? Why do they want to know?
Mate, you're asking the wrong person, because I don't want to know about anybody else's personal life. So I've got no idea why people want to know about mine. I think we are... I don't
curious
know.
By nature, Clark.
Yeah, I think that's the right word. I think curious is the right word.
Can I ask you this, Pup? Has it ever affected you? I mean, as you've gotten older, you've probably gotten a bit
Definitely. I felt like it took me until I was probably 28 to actually accept who I was, to actually accept that, you know, I am... different in certain ways to what past Australian cricketers or Australian cricket captains are like. You know, I think it took me a long time to accept that some people, no matter what you do, some people are going to like you and some people aren't, whether that be your personality, the way you play the game, what you do off the field. So, yeah, it was really difficult at the start of my career. Now I feel you build a... I don't know. You sort of build a brick wall that you don't allow people in. You find it hard to trust, and you rely heavily on your close family and friends. And that probably makes you cherish the people that are close to you as well. But you also build a bit of resilience as well, where, you know, sometimes you take things personally that they aren't personal. People have just got a job to do there, got to write an article or say something on TV. And I think it goes both ways as well. I think we've got to be resilient. We've got to be tough enough to cop your criticism. And in Australia, I think that's how we're built as well. So that takes time to learn. But sometimes you also, you know, you've got to cut people some slack as well.
Clucky. Just one thing, right? With Paul Green, I mean, do you think as a society we understand mental health?
I think we, as men particularly, I think women do, yes. I think women are a lot better at it than men. I think we've come a long way, but we still don't talk enough. I think certainly in this country we still have this, you know, you shouldn't cry or you shouldn't express your feelings. I think we're still a bit old school there, but we have come a long way.
Too much depth, because obviously the family's grieving, but you look at someone like Paul Green, and you know, was a terrific footballer, you know, then became a coach, and he got flicked from North Queensland after some success, but then all of a sudden all these jobs come up, and the only job that he was in line for was an assistant. Now that's got to do something for your ego, right? Now I'm not, again, I don't know. But do you think, I mean, it obviously plays a part. I mean, he was probably, without knowing, but you would think that without getting a job, he was a little bit lost. And, you know, I just think there's just too much scrutiny. And I understand the media have got a job, but as I've gotten older, I've realised that there's so many agendas, right, with journalists. And I just don't think they do it in the proper manner. I really don't. And I watch a lot of programs, right? I read the papers and I understand that they have a job. But seriously, I mean, these people, and not just coaches, I'm just talking, you know, sport in general. They just, people have got families. People have, it's their livelihood. You know, and Loz, you've been around rugby league a long time. Mate, if you're not good with the media, they can ruin you, whether you're a player or a footballer. And I think you know that. And I just don't think don't think that we do things properly. And we got a lot of work to do.
Good on you, Jeff. Appreciate the thoughts, mate. I've got to get to Brad Davidson shortly, but running a trade business isn't all sunshine and rainbows. It's full of spreadsheets and paperwork. Boring, and that's why you should use Fergus Job Management Software, the smarter way for tradies to make every job successful. Let Fergus make your life easier. You can save hundreds of hours on admin, get paid faster, and make every job profitable so you can focus on all the things you started a business for. Fergus, tradie swear by it. For more information, go to fergus.com. Brad Davidson, morning to you.
Morning, Jared. Morning, everyone.
Group 1 Racing, Royal Randwick. What do you make of the Winx Stakes? Who are you leaning towards?
Yeah, it's back, isn't it, this weekend, guys? Bit of a smile on the face this morning, that's for sure, with the Group 1 Racing back, and obviously that means that the colder weather's starting to disappear. We're starting to get a bit more warmth in those days as well. So looking forward to this weekend. In the Winx Stakes, look, he's a super horse, isn't he, Animo, to start with. But for me, I've just got to take him on to a degree here first up, just simply for the fact that the latest trial, he just looked a little bit warm. And going back to last preparation, I do remember at the start of his campaign, he did just parade a bit fresh. And look, his first up run was great against the bias at Rose Hill last time in. But I just wonder whether I want to be diving in at those sort of odds, considering he's a horse that does improve with every run of the preparation. Basically, he's got that profile of second up, he improves, third up, he improves a bit more, and then fourth up, he's generally really striking top fitness. So with all that in mind, I've probably got to be around him a touch at the short odds. I've marked him more around that $3, $3.10 mark. I'm with Malunga. I concede that the lack of speed in the race is a concern. He doesn't want it to turn into a sprint home. He doesn't really have that dash. He's more of a grinder home, and he wants that genuine tempo. But look, he won this race first up last year. I thought his first up run in the Futurity in the last preparation was great. And I just think he sets up well enough to be really competitive here at $7. We know he doesn't trial well. That's always what he does without the shades on. He's done that again this time in, but we know he turns up on race day, and that's the key. So, look, I'm with him, Moanga. I think Fangirl will run a good race. If they do turn it into a sprint home, she's going to be back near last. But one thing she does have over this field is she does have that turn of speed. And if they're able to track into the race with Bowman aboard there and sprint a bit quicker than the others there, she might be able to finish home over the top. Want to see a bit more from Forbidden Love, but concede she gets a positive map. Profondo's an interesting runner. He's been settling better at the trials. He's been trialing well. And obviously last preparation, he just didn't really go to plan at all there. So he can definitely improve. And Halal is another one who can jump out of the ground second up. Second up last prep, he ran a close second to Animo. If he can reproduce that effort, then he's got to be somewhere there for sure. But look, I'm going to go with Malunga just at the better odds to beat Animo. But yeah, great race to kick off the Group 1 season.
What are some of the other horses you like tomorrow, Dover?
There's a few laws I don't mind. Probably the best for me on the program is race 5, number 6, Showmanship. This former WA galloper, I'm going to put my faith in him here. He's James McDonald's going to ride the 55, I believe. He's given half a kilo over. That was the permission by stewards to do that. But you go through this horse's form over in Perth, and he's only had one defeat in Perth, and he should have absolutely walked in that day. That was back in 2019. Went to Caulfield in 2020 and won well in good figures there. And then went to Moonee Valley, won well there. And then, of course, had that long tendon injury, come back, went to Warrnambool first up, struck a heavy 10 and run out of his skin. He loomed up, and it was just a fitness on the heavy 10 that told late in the piece there. But look, he's had a nice soft trial leading into this. He finds James McDonald. He's got no weight on his back. And I just think the likes of King of Sparta, although he's going well and will appreciate a drier deck, his Randwick record's nothing flash, and I just think he's been a little bit overplayed of late as well. So for me, race 5, number 6, Showmanship. And look, I think Lord Ardmore could go back-to-back race, or make it 3 on the trot, actually. Race 6, number 3, Lord Ardmore. He's just flying at the moment. He gets him well again. He gets the right sort of run again. 2,000 metres is going to suit him, and Bowman's riding extremely well. So I'll go with those two. But yeah, race 6, number 3, and race 5, number 6 at Randwick.
Davo, what can we expect from the Randwick track tomorrow, buddy? What's the forecast?
Yeah, the forecast is for a chance of a shower here and there, Clarkie. So fingers crossed we miss those. Soft 6 at the moment. So if we miss those, I think we'll get back to a 5. If we get those showers, maybe we stay at around that 6 range. But look, rail out 3, I expect the track to be relatively fair there. And we've only had 5.5 mil, I think, for the last 7 days. So if we do miss that rain, we're soft five already this morning. So we could even be getting towards a good track. So look, let's just fingers crossed we can miss those showers and have another good track there at Ramwick.
Okay, so Davo's tips, race 5, number 6, Showmanship, $3.40 with Tab, and race 6, number 3, Lord Ardmore, $3.20. Now, we've got to get your thoughts on Loz's Multi. Yep. Race 1 in the highway, number 5, Bandy's Boy, just to run top 3, and in race 6, number 7, Too Much to Bear, top 2, that's $9. What do you reckon, Davo?
Yeah, well, Bandy's Boy was a good winner on the heavy 10 there back at April at Ramwick. You know, it beat some better horses and probably what it's up against there tomorrow as well. So it's a definite chance. And the other one there, Too Much to Bear. Well, I think the step up in trip's going to be the key for this horse, guys. Just the second up run, I thought he ran a lot better than I thought, and it was always going to be a bit short, the 1,500. So it gets out to 2,000, and I'm sure he'll be flashing home late for you, Loz.
Oh, I'm hoping so, Dave. I'm hoping so.
He's looking
going
for four
in a row, though, mate.
Yeah, you know. Four in a row. Gee, Loz, I might have to give this game away and just come on as the racing expert on Friday as well. Fair dinkum.
Professional gambler, Dave, he is now these days.
He's got to give up the big sports brekkie and just sit at home and punt.
Yeah.
Just sit at home and punt, boys. That's what I'm going to do. What are you laughing at?
Oh, yeah, a lot.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at a lot. Anyway, the Multi's open. Today's offers under on the Tab app, the Tab website. Just click on Sport and Today's Offers. And, Davo, we will catch you on Sky Racing 1 tomorrow.
Yeah, look forward to it, guys. We'll be there with Marto and Gator in the afternoon. Join us there for an afternoon of racing or, of course, join into Sky Thoroughbred Central as well. Thanks, guys.